Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Let's have one of them college football parties, y'all. Hell, I tell you what, them Longhorns and them Aggies ought to be partying for similar reasons, no doubt about it. The Longhorns now are number one in the country, taking over that number one spot from the Georgia Bulldogs after they struggled to get by the Kentucky Wildcats, who had got skull drugged by, I believe, South Carolina the week before. So, not a great weekend by Georgia, but the Texas Longhorns continue to impress. They're 3-0 right now. Nothing major week one. 52-0 versus Colorado State, who just lost to Colorado convincingly. So it's not even a good Colorado State football team. But then they turn around, they go to Michigan in the Big House, and they win 31-12. Probably, would you guys say of the top teams that have played, is that the most impressive win that we've seen to date? I mean, because you've got USC, LSU was a big game early on, Georgia, Clemson, but really, I mean, Clemson has been down. I mean, you're talking about Texas, a top five team that was a college football playoff team last year, beating the national champ from last year and beating them convincingly at their place, one of the most difficult places to play football, 31-12. And then this week and next week, actually, they catch a little bit of a break. But this week, they played UTSA, University of Texas, San Antonio, and they handled their business 56-7. The big story to come out of this one, obviously, Quinn Ewers was injured, and I think it's an abdominal strain. I think he's going to be out for at least one more week, but when you everybody understands the quarterback situation at the University of Texas, and the beautiful thing about it is it's Arch Manning is backing up Quinn Ewers in a day when kids transfer, make a ton of money when they do transfer. There would not have been a bigger transfer. Oh, there ain't no doubt. There would not have been a bigger transfer this offseason when Quinn Ewers decided to forego the draft and stay in college. And Arch Manning could have got on the market and made millions of dollars and really picked his destination with the exception of a few schools. But he decides to stay and back up Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers goes out in this ball game with that strained abdominal, and Quinn had to stand on the sideline in sweats and watch Arch Manning go 9 of 12 for 223 yards and 4 touchdowns. That 9 of 12 doesn't sound nearly as sexy as it was. that he threw the ball exceptionally well. The first ball he threw went for a touchdown. He threw the ball all over the park, as you could imagine, four touchdowns. He also ran a long touchdown where he appeared to be the fastest guy on the field at that given time. So Arch Manning, I think a lot of the hype before had to do with the Manning name, had to do more with Eli and Peyton than it did with Arch. But it looks like, Ron, the Arch Manning hype is real. Now, I know it was UTSA. It was a team where clearly where they were going, whoever played was going to have success. They had a huge upper hand, but that was a big day by Manning.
Yeah, they ain't sorry, though.
Right, No. They're a well-coached football team, no doubt.
Yeah, they're not sorry. This is to me where I think Quinn might want to pick it up a little bit. Just pick up his, you don't want to sit out too many weeks. To me, and I know where you're going is like Quinn has earned the right with what he did last year. It is what surprised me in that game against San Antonio was his speed.
Yeah.
The ability for him to run, and once he gets going and how fast. Now, he don't run like Eli. He don't run like his uncle Peyton.
No. He runs like his like granddaddy.
His granddaddy or his dad, who was a receiver at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Like he could get up there, and like I kept, every time I watch, I keep thinking somebody's going to get an angle and catch him, and he's pulling away.
Yeah, he's pulling away
from people. And, he's going 20 miles an hour. Plus, that part to me is where, if I'm Quinn, like, that's an element that definitely I don't bring to the table, and something Sark could add to the offense if he plays.
Well, if Quinn Ewers didn't have the Saturday before, the game in Michigan where he played really, really well, my thought going into that game, Ron, you and I talked about it, was I know Quinn is taking, he's a good leader. He's taking a team to a college football playoff. I would never minimize that or discredit. I would never question the kid's job. But I wanted to see more from Quinn Ewers. I wasn't just super convinced that he could carry a team to a national championship and another college football playoff. I know he'd go to a playoff because they got 12 teams getting in this year. But the thought was is he really as good as Sark thinks he is and Longhorn Nation thinks he is? And in that Michigan game was his coming out party this year. I mean, he jumped to the top of all the Heisman boards. Yeah. Without the previous weekend, I think Quinn Ewers would be in trouble. I'll be honest with you. I think he would be in trouble. But having played as well as he played, and he made some big boy, big time throws in that Michigan game, having quarterbacked that game and played as well as he played, Ron, I just don't think that there's any way, there's nothing that Arch Manning can do against UTSA and against Louisiana Monroe to upseat Quinn Ewers. Now, I'll also say this. I think that you've got some real adults in the room that are making the best decisions for Arch Manning as it pertains to where he's at right now. If he were going to be disgruntled after the ULM game that they play this week, after probably playing well, if Quinn Ewers is named the starter, I'd imagine if that guy was capable of getting disgruntled at that point in time, or if his family was going to allow him to get disgruntled at that time, if he had that mindset, I think he would have been gone in the preseason when Quinn Ewers said, I'm coming back to Texas and I'm going to be the quarterback again. It just seems like this. What's driving Arch Manning is not playing right now. It's not money. I think there's just an understanding in his world of, I'm going to sit back here behind Quinn. I'm going to watch a great quarterback play the game. I'm going to learn this offense. I'm going to take ownership in the locker room when it's my turn. And then when I do get on this field, I'm going to light college football on fire. It seems like that is the mindset for Arch Manning. So I don't see this being that big of a deal, even though I'll be honest with you, I am absolutely stoked about watching a Texas ULM game for one reason. For
see
one
if
reason.
He can pull it off. I mean, he got 5 touchdowns. And then if he shows that again, like, they're going to at least have a hard time where it's not like, hey, man, should there be a package? Should he be, especially if he shows off the legs again and he can run like
right.
that. There's going to be something, man. We need to get him on the field.
Well, we'll see how they handle it. I think it's going to be seamless. I think you got the right people handling this situation and the right mindsets within this situation, Ron. We'll see how it happens after the ULM game, because it just makes – it's too good to be true if it's just seamless, right? It's one of those, like, not in today's football. There ain't no chance. So we'll see exactly how that is handled. Quinn Ewers, I hope he gets back to health. But the quarterback room at the University of Texas right now is as good as – is better than any in the country. And let's be honest, the future at the University of Texas appears to be awfully bright with Arch Manning in that quarterback room. They have replaced the wide receivers that they lost in the first and second round of the draft last year. It appears, after how they played against Michigan, that they've replaced the D tackles that they lost in the first and second round of the draft last year. According to Sark, this is the most talented team that he's had after making a run to a college football playoff and losing a boatload of players to the draft. So,
Longhorn Nation, we're back!
Well,
number one.
We'll see. We'll see now. We'll see how back you are. We'll see. But you're playing some good football right now, and you're in a really good spot. All right, let's bounce over to Tyler's squad, man. Hey, T, you got to be absolutely stoked, bro.
Oh, I am.
I mean, you have got to be absolutely stoked.
Ring, baby.
Look, man, when it comes to the Aggies, I was high and picked as my Cinderella this year. Cinderella being a team that probably wasn't expected in Mike Elko's first year after buying Jimbo Fisher out for $400 million, probably wasn't expected to really make a push for it. I thought they had the inner workings after watching what Elko did at Duke and being really high on Connor Wegman. I thought that the Aggies could, and the schedule being really forgiving, given the fact that it's an SEC schedule. No Georgia, no Alabama, all the tougher opponents that you're catching at home. I thought this thing lined up beautifully for A&M to be a real surprise team late in the season. And it's not too late. It's not too late, by the way. They got one loss, I get it, sitting at 2-1. But the beautiful thing right now in College Station, T, Connor Wegman might not see the field. And if it were me,
I don't know why he would.
If it were me.
Really, you're there?
Bro, I don't. If it were me, he's definitely not getting back on it until this kid gives me until this Marcel Reed kid gives me a reason.
Let's go, Marcel.
Until he gives me a reason and shows me, that doesn't play back, because there's time. He's going to run into some tough times in the SEC.
Sure, sure.
But when you're young and inexperienced, and you go on the road and you play in the swamp, and I understand that the Gators are not the Gators that, like, I played against in 96. They won a national title. And
they're in the midst of somebody getting fired.
I understand it's nothing. But when you go into that is a hostile environment. The dudes on the other side of the ball are still phenomenal, phenomenal athletes.
The swamp.
They're not the Gators coach isn't getting fired. I don't know if they already announced he's getting fired or not. He's not getting fired.
It's coming.
Oh, I think they've already announced it. I think the report is not that he's fired, but the report is that the board is gathering funds to make it happen. But we'll see what happens in Florida. But my point is that coach isn't getting fired because they don't have dudes. That coach isn't getting fired because the swamp isn't one of the most difficult places to go and play. And look, I understand they may not be at their height right now. I get it. But when you're Marcel Reed and you hadn't played much football and you take a team on the road with a first-time head coach, an organization that's been as dysfunctional as College Station has been under Jimbo Fisher, and you go 178 yards passing, two touchdowns, doesn't sound even remotely close to as sexy as it really was if you watched the game. Marcel Reed, 13 carries, 83 yards, and a touchdown. Again, you need to see it. The kid is electric. And again, you're on the field with Florida. You're not on the field with UTSA. You're not on the field with Louisiana Monroe. You're on the field with Florida. I'm telling you, Ron, the actions, the arm action, the ability to spin the rock, I mean, it is impressive. And the athletic ability is going to play. I don't give a damn who. I don't care who's on the other side of the football. Who did I watch them play in the bowl game this year? Last year, ooh. I guess. I'm sorry. Didn't he play in the bowl game? The lefty kid started.
Yes, Marcel played in the bowl game.
It was here. Who? I can't remember who the hell it was.
I can't remember either.
Was it Oklahoma State again?
It may have been. I'll double check. I can't remember right now.
Was that last year? Damn, that feels. I guess it was.
Yeah.
Hell, I should probably know that on the board.
Oklahoma State was in black. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm telling you, he played in that game because Texas A&M lost their quarterback early, and he played lights out then too. Again, just super electric and
scary looking dual threat, man.
I'm telling
Exciting.
You. But T, I think it's real. My whole deal is I've watched a lot of athletes and you go, yeah, but he don't really, like, there's something funky in his throwing motion, or the ball didn't come out of his hand right, or, man, you know, he's running scared more than he is being a true dual threat. Like, I'm telling you, you can argue last year in that bowl game that a lot of that was running scared. A lot of that was, hey, man, I ain't practiced.
Yeah, panic, get out of the pocket, let's go.
Let me go. I watched a good bit of this, and he appears to be cool, calm, collected, and completely in control to throw every route on the field, most impressively the deep ball. I mean, he is there. I'm going to tell you, again, Connor Wegman is not getting back on the field until Marcel Reed gives me a reason. If he gets overwhelmed in the next couple of weeks and this kid's not quite ready, then sure, I'll go back to the big fella that is going to deliver some stuff from the pocket. But Marcel Reed is a different animal.
You two were so high on Connor.
I mean, yes. We weren't the only ones.
Yes.
I mean, he was on a lot of people's high.
Are you with him? You want to see, like, you're...
Yes. I've seen enough just from the Notre Dame game. Like, that alone has me pissed off enough at Wegman.
I think that's fair. Night. I mean, Connor did not look like what he looked like in Petrino's offense against Notre Dame. Now, it was first rattle out of the box. It was, and I get it. But the most concerning thing about what I saw from Connor Wegman, where I was obviously wrong, was I thought Connor Wegman was going to be much more fleet of foot. Against Notre Dame, bro, there was a zero factor in the ability to move the pocket, leave the pocket, and the ability to make plays with your feet. Last year when I watched him in Petrino's office, I mean, offense, there was some of that. He's going to be a pocket guy, but there was some of that. I'm telling you, this Marcel Reed kid, there is absolutely some of that. And when you're a team that is, if you're not going to be able to protect and you're not going to be able for whatever reason, your quarterback has the ability to look like he looked against Notre Dame, like your offense looks like that, you add that athletic ability, it's an absolute game changer. So it ain't nothing. It's not anything against Connor Wegman. I'm not a guy to condemn somebody for first week against Notre Dame coming out of the gate against that defense. But when I see somebody, when I see a player that I think is a legit game changer and the arm and the athletic ability transitions to play against big boys, hey, man, you got to ride that wave.
The thing that I noticed, and I can tell Tyler's excited about it, and some of the other Aggie fans, or the thing that I noticed when I watched him wasn't really as much as, like, the things he can do. It was, I don't know if you all felt it, it felt like he was just kind of one of them guys that the cats really liked. Like, wanted to be.
No,
like,
question about that.
You know what I mean? Yep. It felt like the rest of the team got a jolt of energy when he got in the game.
It big felt, part of it too. Great
it feels
call.
Like they like it just looks like they believe.
Oh yeah, he provided a spark to that squad.
When he came in, he seems to have like the
juice,
Carmelo Magic. Yep. John, you know the
it factor.
I'm just talking about their personalities.
Their makeup,
where he's running. He's smiling. He looks like he is having the time of his life in Florida in the swamp. And that seemed to kind of spill out to the rest of the guys on the team in a way that I don't know has been able to have been done since Kellen Mond.
That's great. I see what you did there. I see what you did there. That is tremendous.
But Kellen had that, finally.
That is tremendous. But, hey, man, look, hey, the college football in the state of Texas right now, I know we got some work to do over here at U of H. I get it. But boy, Texas and Texas A&M right now are rolling. I really like what I saw from the young fella at Texas A&M, man. No knock on Wegman, but if you're a coach, Ron, based on what you just said and based on just the electric arm and the athletic ability, The way the team responded to him versus the week of Notre Dame, you know, Wegman's having to explain to the media that, hey, man, I took full responsibility to my teammates and they trust me, and he's having to tell us how much of a leader he is and tell us what he's going to do and all that kind of jive to a guy that just the team appears to rally around. It's going to be interesting to see how this thing unfolds, but I don't know how you pull Reed off the field until he gives you a reason. You can't just pull him off the field the way that Manning's going to get pulled off the field for Quinn Ewers. You can't do that given what I just watched.
All right, coming up, some Astros news. Somebody's going to the IL. We'll tell you the latest on that. And potentially lineup. Did we see their postseason lineup last night? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Ben Gamble headed to the IL. I know it, boy.
They roll through them outfielders, don't they?
They roll through them, man.
Man, he was really performing at the plate since he joined this team.
He had done something. He's going to the IL. We'll see if he's able to be back by the time the postseason starts.
I'll see you in October.
Look at, but as you said, they got a bevy of outfielders out there. Jason Hayward is in the lineup today. Or was in the lineup yesterday. They've got a bunch in that bad boy. By the way, I just don't like it. I know you were looking at something, but I'm sitting here during the break, Tyler, and I just hear Clint listening to one of the worst moments of his life. And I'm just like, dude, like listening and watching it. Watching.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
That's what I said. What are you doing? Stop.
Well, no, somebody just sent me. I didn't do it. I wasn't over here crying. I wasn't over here crying in my beer, man. No, it's actually cool. They're doing a last year we did a documentary. They produced a documentary that did really well. It's up for some awards this year. It was called Resurgence. And it was about Houston Nutt, who took over. For those that don't know, Houston Nutt took over for Danny Ford in my junior year in college, and we made a crazy run, beat a lot of great football teams, beat Alabama, still the worst loss in SEC for Alabama in SEC play. Anyway, won a lot of games, and I ended up fumbling away an opportunity to national championship against Tennessee in Knoxville, and so that resurgence was more about Houston coming in. The program, you know, was at an all-time low, and all of a sudden, boom. Next thing you know, they were redoing the stadium and all that kind of stuff. And then this year, I guess that one did so well that they're doing a new one, and it's called Redemption, which is about the year following my fumble ultimately. We go back and talk about it, and then we get to we beat Tennessee in Fayetteville. They were the number one or number two team in the country, and we knocked them off 28-24, same score that they beat us by in Knoxville when I fumbled the ball. So it was actually a good listen. It was a good listen. Another documentary,
another good
man.
Listen.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why it has. I do. I understand why it has a start like that, because that's where it starts.
You gotta skip that part. You gotta give a warning. Hey, listen. Hey, man. This first part, man.
Fast forward just to 5 seconds.
I'm just sitting here looking in. I just hear Sterner fumbles, and I'm just like,
that's a tough one to watch, boy.
Gosh damn it.
The toughest thing, Ron, I've never been one to go back and watch even like old highlights and stuff. I don't care. I don't have them. But anyway, I have gone back one time in my life and watched that game, and I don't care about seeing the play.
I watched it last year.
Chief, when watching the game, and like I realized both from a team perspective how good we were, and at that point in time, the season that I was having, and if I don't fumble that ball, that year I had a better year than Joey Harrington, and he was up for the Heisman Trophy. And it was one of them deals where, like, boy, it's painful to watch. Like, the whole thing, and then the knowing that's coming, it's just like,
yeah, it was one of your better games, wasn't it?
Yeah, man. Hell yeah. I had three touchdowns. I mean, I lit Tennessee up in 2 years. But anyway, wasn't meant to be, baby. Wasn't meant to be.
Yeah, when they were showing on SEC Network, when they were showing that, they showed it. They showed the game. And I remember watching.
Oh, when they were doing the SEC story thing?
When they were doing it, they showed the game. And it was, I was just like, man, they got it. They got your post-game interview in there, too, as you stood in the locker room. And Saquon Barkley did. And that was, just stop doing that to yourself. By the way, I said this on the other side. I feel like, to me, I would be A-OK. I'd move some people around. But I'd be A-OK if this was the nine in the lineup. And the lineup they had last night, I wonder how close this will be to the postseason. And a couple of things that jump out, Altuve and Alvarez. Alvarez is the DH batting second. Diaz playing first base. Are you good with Diaz playing first base on a, I'd say on a more of a daily postseason manner, so that Victor Caratini can get in at catcher? Are you all right with him playing first base?
Absolutely.
Would that be what you would?
For me, I mean, I think. Look, I don't.
Vic's a good defender.
I don't. Just I'm completely clear. I don't like what the Astros have done at first base in terms of rotating five different people through there. I hate it. Right, but at the end of the day, that is one spot. The DH and first base and left field really have been spots where they've constantly rotated different bats through there, different players through there. There's no rhyme or reason. And I don't know what the final answer is, Ron, but am I okay with Diaz playing first and Caratini catching, whether it's for multiple games or just one game when Diaz isn't catching, just to get the best lineup out there? And do I believe that that is the defensive lineup that gives you the best offensive lineup? Yes. Yes, I love Dubon in center field, and yes, it's I'm willing to sacrifice whatever elite defense that is that Jake brings to the table for a better bet. And yes, I absolutely do believe a lot more in Dubon at the plate in clutch situations and just getting quality at bats and ultimately being a better overall hitter. Absolutely, I'm in that camp. So I love that part of it. When you look at left field right now, Jason Hayward is swinging it. He's swinging it well. He's a lot better than when we acquired him, I think. So I'm cool with that bat. Yep. Caratini's obviously one of your top nine best hitters on this baseball team. So I love anything you do to get him in the game. So I'd
rather Caratini get the three or four at bats than John Singleton right now.
Absolutely.
Right. And obviously you got your both of your catchers in there. And Diaz you'll carry a third, and Diaz can slide over there if need be, if you need to do something. But he's a switch hitter. Like I would, because that's where it comes down to. Okay, Diaz, yes, you lose something defensively at first base, but if it's going to be at any position that I'm going to lose something, it would be first base, where, you know, this isn't center field or shortstop.
I mean, the truth of the matter is that it's the same thing as center field. Do you have a more comfortable, maybe, look, what some people believe is a better defensive? I'm not trying to push your buttons. But if some people may think that, right? And sure, there may be a better defensive, more comfortable first baseman, but what you give up at the plate, to me, is not worth it. So I would rather, whether it's center field, first base, whatever it may be, I would rather have the lesser defender on the field and the better bat in the lineup. I personally would rather be there than the flip side of it.
Yeah. I'm with you. There's a point of where the thought is, like, and I've seen some people on the text line, Diaz at first, I don't know. And I hear you on it, But yeah, I this to me makes sense, because Diaz is not he ain't horrific at first base, and Caratini's pretty good behind the plate as well, and his bat is needed. All right, some news to pass along coming up here on the other side, coming about your Houston Texans and Nico Collins. We've said a lot of things about him in the last several months. I think it's time we definitively say one thing about him as well. We'll discuss.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's that coming up next?
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I've noticed these little cute intros you're doing, Dialer. Are you choosing these songs?
Yeah. Not a fan?
I've noticed them, and I'm thinking, who's choosing these numbers? He's choosing this.
Just mixing it up a bit.
Mixing it up, yeah. I've heard a couple of them.
Well, I mean, who did you think, was choosing them?
Well, I don't know. I don't know who's, you know.
That man back there is on his ones and twos. He ain't letting nobody handle his business.
No, the production side.
Facts.
I don't know who else is. Who else may be sliding into it, isn't there? Because I've almost jumped the gun a few times when the music comes back. And then I've noticed, this is one of those, rejoins.
Tyler specials?
One of those rejoins, yeah.
Well, T-Mill on the mic special for you.
No, that ain't T-Mill on the mic. You know what T-Mill
no, it's
yeah,
not.
You circle. I mean, that's one, you're talking about dropping a ball.
I think you should go T-Mill on the mic and overdo the voice guy to bring us back.
I think T-Mill on the mic should be a regular guest on our show.
As a different person?
I mean, I think there should just be an appearance by T-Mill on the mic.
Like something like.
On a weekly basis, or hell, he can do it randomly
like,
from time
to
time.
To me, I think we get like a chain or something. A big, like, chain. Maybe the bling would be fake, but rhinestones, some chain.
Yeah.
And when he puts the chain on.
Is when T-Mill.
Is okay. When he becomes T-Mill on the mic. He's no longer Tyler Milner.
That is
when
good.
When the chain comes, that,
that's
chain
a good play.
Is put on. It is
for the YouTube folks.
We're
like
no
it.
Longer dealing with
like
him.
It.
That's a different thing. We're no longer dealing with
King Ding-a-ling in there.
We're dealing with T-Mill on the mic.
I think your gold chain with rhinestones in it should say King up and down a ding-a-ling. I think that's what it is.
You know, I have thrown around the idea
the ding-a-ling.
I'd bling. Rock the hell out of that.
King ding-a-ling bling. That's it. Boy, that is one of my best right there.
King ding-a-ling with the bling bling. Hey.
Hey!
Oh boy, I tell you what,
that could be a fun deal there. Real quick to pass this along, the Texans, they've worked out a couple of players. Scott Quisenberry, you remember him, center, interior lineman. They worked him out, and Irv Smith Jr., Alabama tight end, has been around the league with a lot of teams. I remember the Vikings, I believe, drafted him. I know he's with a couple of teams.
That's correct. Maybe Casario's doing a little research through him for Minnesota this week.
Well, I don't think he's played. The last team I know he's with was Kansas City. So I think he was with them during camp. So I don't know if he's – I think Minnesota's been a while. I think there's been somebody between Minnesota.
I really liked Irv Smith coming out of Bama, man. Really liked Irv Smith. A little more of a Brevin Jordan kind of player than a inline tight end. Yeah.
He actually got caught up just with the numbers in Kansas City. They got Kelce. They drafted a tight end, and they had another one in Bray they just gave money to. So I think he got caught up in the numbers. So the center one is the one there, Scott Quisenberry. It's like, yo, one, is the juice thing a little bit longer, or are they saying to themselves, yo, we need some insurance. We need something else back there. We need some insurance if juice goes out, because maybe Patterson wasn't enough there. And maybe they go in a different direction at center just in case something happens to Juice, because they said they didn't think it would be long term with Juice, but working.
Well,
out the center,
look, if a groin is not injured beyond, hey, let's test it game day and see if he can go, then he's going to be fine. If we're in the test it on game day and let's see if you can go kind of stuff, you are really, really close to being able to play. Given that, unless there was some kind of setback during that, let's see if you can go, unless he hurt it worse then or hurts it in practice this week. Neither of those two things happen, I would expect to see Juice Scruggs back. The Quisenberry thing does, though, rub you in a way of like, hey, man, wait a minute. Is it worse than we thought? Or were they not happy, as you said, with Patterson and his performance?
I think it's the latter. I think maybe it's a just in case something happens with Juice again, we got
to have somebody.
We got somebody that we want to feel more comfortable with back there. So that's what the Texans have done. And something else I believe the Texans have done, and I believe they have found themselves a legit number one receiver. Now, I will say this. Nico Collins, to me, who leads the NFL in receiving yards through the first 2 weeks, and clearly to me has been the most consistent. And when you look at both weeks, because of the struggles that the run game had with Mixon, he has been this team's best weapon by far the first 2 weeks. Consistency and big plays. And Clint, this was not something that I had walking into the season. But at this point, when you look at everything he did last year, and we start to look at things towards the end of the game where, hey, there's no Tank, there's no Robert Woods, there's no who's 85? Brown. Noah Brown. None of those guys are here. And we need to come up with an offensive game plan, because we got to throw the football, because running is not the best thing that we do. And he against the Browns, against the Colts, the Browns, was the clear lone guy out there, and he played like a number one receiver. His numbers last year were number one receiver-like, and he's come in this year, Clint. And I don't know if you sense this. I don't know if the people who have watched this sense this. Like, it seems to me that CJ looks at him when he's in trouble or looks at him when he needs a big play. I'm sorry. I don't think it's a coincidence if they are Clinton Tyler in scramble drills, and six or seven of the times he's in scramble drills, it seems to always find 12. Just like I didn't find it as a coincidence that it always seemed to find Tank last year.
Yeah.
So or hey, third down, he's hitting Nico.
Has got him on fire, baby.
To me, I think he's even shown that he's taken more of a step this year to be able to hurt you in many ways. He can hurt you on the screen. He can hurt you going up on a deep ball. He can hurt you jumping up and high pointing the ball. He has just taken that next step. Now, I think there are levels to this. I don't believe he's on the Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams level. But like, if guys like Deebo Samuel's a number one receiver, if you know DJ Moore, who we just saw, is a number one receiver, I think he's in that space.
Yeah, look, I don't have any problem calling Nico Collins a number one receiver at this point in time. I mean, we can get into the levels and layers of it if that's the conversation being had. But simply calling Nico a number one wide receiver, and I've been the biggest critic of Nico Collins. I'm there. Again, I mean, I think there's a couple of points here that need to be made. Like Nico Collins coming out and going over 100 yards right now, leading the league in yards it's important to be consistent, right? The small sample size of 1 year doesn't do it for me. Like, you got to show that you can do it multiple years. The way that the first two games unfolded, the way that they were played, it wasn't your typical CJ Stroud put the team on your back, throw the football to victory, right? It was a run dominant football game where the opportunities were going to be limited. Nico went for over a buck, right? This last week, it was nothing was in rhythm. Everything, with the exception of a couple of catches, was very, very difficult. The protection wasn't there. CJ was running around and the production was there. He goes for a buck 35 or whatever it was. So, I mean, Nico has very early on proved that he's going to pick up where he left off last year. This thing is going to be consistent. The sample size is going to continue to grow. Nico has also proved that when things aren't pretty, throw the ball up into double coverage against the Colts, he'll go up and get it, right? As you mentioned, the scramble drill, the ability to make yourself available, find the soft spots in coverage in a scramble drill. Last year, that was usually Tank Dell. Now, all of a sudden, Nico Collins, through 2 weeks, has found a way to be that guy for C.J. Stroud. So, yeah, look, I don't have any problem at this point in time saying that Nico Collins is clearly the number one on this football team, and he is a number one wide receiver in the NFL. And that contract that they signed, again, I didn't agree with it. I thought it was rich. I thought it was early. But again, Nick Caserio is right, because that contract is, by the week, is becoming more and more of a bargain.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You bet, Nick, for the Houston Texans. Absolutely. He's a number one receiver in this league. The production shows it. The film shows it. He's continuing to get better. I love the chip on the shoulder Sunday after getting the personal foul when he pushed the guy. I love the way he finished the touchdown run. Nico Collins is trending upward on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I mean, he's the catches he's making. Now, that one on the sideline they had to get reviewed, that he pinned to his helmet and got his feet in, was a big-time catch. It's just, it's as if he is the focal point in where they're going. And as I said before, I think the thing that jumps out to me, and you could talk about it when you played, when you played in college, it was Anthony Lucas. When you needed a big third down to convert, that was probably where you were going. The guy that you played with briefly in Tony Romo, when he needed a big play, he was looking for 88 and Dez Bryant all the way. Like, we can see it now. Like, that to me is where it changes, is kind of changing courses, because it seems like 12 is where CJ is looking. Now, it's through the first 2 weeks of the season, but it also makes sense, because with his body and the routes that he could run and his size, like, that's where you want to go. And that is where they are going to me right now. And so I give him that. I didn't think that was the case rolling into this piece.
Well, I mean, it's natural, right? When you roll into it, he had one really good year where he was clearly the best receiver on the team. And all of a sudden the team goes out and signs one of, if not the most productive wide receiver in football over the last 4 or 5 years, whatever it had been. So it's obvious. You look at it and you go, man, who's going to be the guy that gets the bulk of the catches this year? And then you go to training camp and you watch, and Nico Collins, under the radar guy, super cool, nice and chill, doesn't make a whole lot of plays in training camp, works extremely hard, but just isn't a guy that's out there jumping off the field consistently.
Only thing he was just burning Derek Stingley. Maybe that was something we should.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, yeah. He was a pro. He was being Nico. What I'm saying is, it wasn't. You didn't watch practice, and you're like, ooh, did you see Nico? Wow, did you see Nico? Damn, did you see that 50-50 ball? Wow, did you look at it? I mean, just Tank was quiet as well. Tank and Nico were both quiet. Not being disrespectful, not minimizing anything they did. They were just quieter than most. And you watch practice, and Diggs jumps off. Brevin Jordan jumps off. When Joe Mixon, the couple of times he was out there, jumps off the screen. I mean, it's like Derek Stingley Jr. jumped off the field. I mean, there's Christian Harris, when he's – not this camp, but typically he jumps off the field. Obviously, Will and Danielle Hunter. Like, Nico just is kind of an under-the-radar guy, and so it's natural to think, is it Diggs or is it Nico? Who is it? Right? And I think through two games, it's pretty obvious. It's Nico Collins. It's 12, baby.
All right, coming up, we'll get you ready for big game two tonight for Hunter Brown and the Astros. Also, what does the latest mean for the Dolphins with Tua, and how does that affect their playoff chances? And the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, starting to make more decisions. We'll continue that as we continue to roll through right here live on The Drive.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.